From time to time, we all need to be re-energized. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shows us how to reignite our passion for God.
The focus of our church is the Lord, but what good is a stated focus if there is no expression of that focus? What good is it to say, oh, I really believe the world needs to hear the gospel if there's no expression of that? What good is it to say, I really love the Lord if there's no expression of that love for the Lord?
Life can get busy. Responsibilities, relationship pressures, and schedule challenges can all feel overwhelming. Sometimes we just need to pause, evaluate, and start again fresh. In our series, Reignite, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants to transform through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have ever felt stuck or powerless to change your environment, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Reignite Your Stewardship.
I heard about a missionary in Africa who was teaching his people to tithe. And on a Monday morning, a man came to him with a huge, giant fish. And he said, here, Mr. Missionary, this is for the Lord. And I wanted to bring it right away. He said, you've been teaching us about tithing. And the missionary looked at that and he said, wow. He said, now, if this is your tithe, where are the other nine fish? And the young man said, oh, they're still in the river, but I wanted to bring God his first. Now, I want to tell you, he was getting the right idea. He was learning to trust God. He did not wait to see if he was going to catch 10 and then give one. He brought that first one to the Lord. And I just want to say that this is the beginning point of stewardship. And I want to challenge you this morning that if your focus is the Lord, that the very best way to remain focused is to continue tithing. And I've noticed over the years, long before church attendance slacks and long before someone is no longer faithful in church, they will cease the tithe, because where the treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you want to maintain that focus as you honor God in giving. And as we give to the Lord, we're recognizing the simple fact that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we're saying, Lord, you've given this to me. I'm honoring you with the tenth part. So tithing was established in essence before the law. It was expanded under the law. It was explained as a matter of trust. And finally, tithing is expected in the church. When we read in the New Testament, we see that the matter of giving was something that everyone was challenged to be a part of. In fact, we read that this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, where it says, every man. Paul didn't say, I know some of you at Corinth are having difficulty and it's a tough time. But he just said, I want everybody to do something. Notice, if you would, in your notes, 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The first day of the week, my friends, is Sunday. God says, when you get together on Sunday, you're no longer getting together on Saturday at the temple, you're getting together on Sunday at the church. How about that? Amen. And we're here today celebrating the resurrected Christ. And he said, when you gather together on that first day of the week, I want every one of you to come together into my storehouse, and I want you to come prepared. I want you to lay by him in store, as God hath prospered you. I want you to remember your God. Sometimes we forget where it all comes from, and God wants us to remember. I heard about a fellow that took his son to McDonald's, and they got some french fries, and he did not order fries for himself, but he got a big super size for his son, and they each had a Diet Coke there and a Coke for his boy. And the father did what I would have done. He smelled those french fries and he reached over and he took one of the french fries, and his son said, hey, those are my fries. Now his dad drove them to the McDonald's, and his dad took the money out and paid for the french fries. But the boy said, those are my french fries. Now, I don't know about you, if I would have been there, I might have said, listen, boy, I brought you into this world. I brought you to McDonald's. I bought those French fries. Those are our French fries. But it reminds me of a lot of Baptists. God gives us a job. God gives us a check. And it's Sunday. And now it's time. And it's time for the tithe, which is the Lord's, the first fruit of our substance. And if we're not careful, we're saying to God, those are my French fries, God. I know you gave me that contract, but I need this right now. We must recognize that tithing and giving to the Lord should be a normal routine as we come together to worship Him. And so I say to you this morning, the focus of our church is the Lord, but what good is a stated focus if there is no expression of that focus? What good is it to say, oh, I really believe the world needs to hear the gospel if there's no expression of that? What good is it to say, I really love the Lord if there's no expression of that love for the Lord? Now, I believe that when you have love for someone, you want to express that love through an obedient heart. I remember when we were dating, Terry and I would spend time talking, getting to know one another, and we got engaged, and I found out that she liked these little precious moments figurines. And honestly, to this day, I don't really understand the whole thing. And normally, it's like two people with a little heart, and they're kind of snuggling together, or it's, some other, little kind of a carving of some romantic type of a theme, and we'd sometimes be at a store, she'd say, oh, those are so nice. And well, I figured out what she liked, and I wanted to give her what she liked. She was the focal point of my life at that point, and so far as our relationship, and I didn't really understand these little figurines. I thought they probably cost a little bit too much money. All I knew is this: I loved Terry, and she wanted that. And I didn't go into the Hallmark store and go, all right, here's one. They're kind of holding hands. There's a cute little saying right there. And go up to the counter and go, yeah, I don't really like this, but, I have to get it. So here, wrap it up, And I didn't go to Terry and go, all right, here it is. You can have it. I don't understand it, but here, you can have it. That's not my attitude with that. My attitude was, man, this is awesome. Look, this one right here. These two people, they're holding hands. Maybe she'll hold my hand. She'll probably really like this one. And boy, this is great. And I go up, I get to give this to my fiance, and then I give it to her, and I couldn't wait for her to open it up. It was exciting. I was thrilled to give those little figurines. I gave dozens of those figurines to Terry while we were dating. Because when you're focusing on someone, you want to express it. And you'll know how your love for Jesus is going by your attitude toward the giving to the Lord. Are you giving to Him from a heart of love, or is it sort of like when you pay your taxes? You see, if we're focusing on the Lord, we'll express that focus. And then I want you to see secondly, and remember the good part about the message. There's only two points today. Amen? The third point is tonight. So here's the second point. Does that mean we're almost done? I have no idea. Depends on how fast you listen. The focus of the church is the Lord, and that is expressed through the tithe. Number two, the fields of the local church. When you focus on someone, you listen to what they say, just like I listened to Terry. And listen to what Jesus said in John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, look unto the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Now, Jesus is my focal point, and Jesus is accepting that worship, but He's also saying, hey, to His disciples, I want you to look over here to the fields that are white already unto harvest. Why? Because we want to lift up our eyes and look at life is not all about the job and soccer and football and paying the bills and building an airplane. Hey, God put us on this world for a period of time to help others know Jesus Christ is their Savior. And Jesus said, sometimes we got to get our eyes off our calendar date book and get our eyes onto the fields that are white already unto harvest. And so, church, I want you to hear me this morning. Our field is the world. Our field is the world. See, why do you say that? Some of you are probably newer and thinking, what is this all about? Look in your notes or look in your Bible at Acts 1:8. Acts chapter 1 in verse 8. This is Jesus speaking right before He ascended up into heaven. And Jesus said to that gathering of believers, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both. Now I want you to circle that word, and I want you to say that word. Ready to begin? Both. All right, one more time. Both. Jesus said, I want you to witness for me both. And I want you to understand what the word both means. It involves doing both at the same time. He said, I want you to simultaneously be a witness for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. You say, how in the world can one church go to all those areas? And that's why missions is so exciting, because it is through the ministry of these missionaries that one church can touch the whole world. Now think about what Jesus said. He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. And we're trying to do that today. These past few weeks, we've been going to Palmdale and Lancaster. I have this entire Antelope Valley in my office, and I have it marked by adult Bible class. And every week, the adult Bible classes are going out with their teachers and visiting in our community and sharing the gospel and taking bread or taking gifts and preaching the gospel. Why? Because Jesus said, hey, I want you to be involved in reaching your Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? Because our focus is on Jesus, and Jesus said, I want you to go there into your Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, giving to missions is no substitute for being a witness right here at home. And Jesus said, I want you to go into Jerusalem. Then he said, I want you to go into your Judea. He said, I want you to go to Judea. And that takes it out a little farther. That's why right now as I preach here, we have a rented building in Rosamond and a building we own in Mojave and another rented building in Lake LA. And men that are from this ministry and paid by this ministry are preaching in those three areas today, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Why are we doing it simultaneously here and simultaneously there? Why do we support these endeavors? Because Jesus said, go ye therefore. And he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea. Then he said, Samaria. And you broaden it out a little more. And that's why today we have folks starting churches in the LA area, several. And in Taft, Castaic, Northridge, and Fontana. Right now we're supporting endeavors there with men from this ministry preaching. As I preached this morning, last week some 800 folks heard the preaching of the gospel just as I preached the gospel. Say, why are we doing that? Because Jesus told us to. He said, I want you to do it in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Then he said, I want you to go to the othermost parts of the earth. He said, I want you to take the gospel everywhere at the same time. I'm just simply saying this morning, our focus is Jesus. Our field is the world. It's not that difficult if we'll just do what God's calling us to do. But if you really believe that people in LA need Jesus, and if you really believe that the answer in America is not political, it's spiritual, and if you really believe that somebody's soul in Africa is as valuable to God as a soul in California, and if you really believe that somebody's soul in Iran is a soul that Jesus shed his blood for, then I'm going to tell you something this morning. If we really believe that, then we've got to be as involved in giving to missions as we are in tithing unto the Lord. Because Jesus died for the entire world's sin. So we must express our love for the world in that way. Our field is the world. Let her be. Our expression is giving. The way we express our love for God is through the tithe. The way we express our ownership in his vision is through giving. Now the Bible teaches us that we're to be involved in this matter of giving. The verse says in verse number 6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And God says, I want every one of you to purpose in your heart and to give to the Lord. I heard about a father that came to his daughter and he gave her $2 bills. He said, no, I don't care what you do with this dollar, but he said, this dollar is for God. And I want you to remember that. And she was excited. She had $2 bills. She was skipping down the street. Suddenly she tripped and fell, and one of those dollar bills fell into the gutter. The wind caught it, and it went down into the underground sewer. And she got up. She was frustrated. She brushed herself off. She looked up into heaven. She said, well, God, there goes your dollar. It's time for some of us to stop giving God the leftovers. It's time to seek first the kingdom. Now you say, well, what happens when we give? Let me give you a few thoughts as we close. First, when we give, there is the provision of giving, which is ministry. the provision of giving is more ministry can happen. Now notice in verse 1 of our text there, the Bible says, as touching the ministering to the saints, it is unnecessary or superfluous for me to write unto you. He says, when you give, the word is the Greek word diakonia. It speaks about service. And it says, when you give, you're facilitating service. It might be the buses that we run into the neighborhoods of Lancaster and Palmdale. It might be the missionaries that we support in Africa and China. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So when we support a missionary, we're entering into fellowship with them. We're partnering with them so that they can go give the gospel ministry unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And it's happening all around the world today. When we express in giving, we're providing for ministry to take place in these different places. Secondly, I want you to see the promotion of giving. We see the provision of our giving provides for ministry. Well, let me show you the biblical basis for making commitments. And I want you to see it with me in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul the apostle says this, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you. Now Paul says, I thought it would be of importance that the brethren would come to you. And I exhorted them to go to you. And then notice he says there in this same verse number 5, to make up beforehand your bounty. To make up beforehand your bounty. And he says, I want this to be done as it would not be a matter of covetousness. I want it to be a matter of bounty. Now, if you're taking notes, the word bounty means offering. Paul is saying to the Corinthians here, I'm sending some men ahead to remind you to get your offering ready, because we're taking an offering for the church in Jerusalem, and I want you to get your bounty ready, and I don't want it to be a matter of covetousness. Paul did not want to come in and strong arm them and, you know, have some tactics of trying to manipulate to get money. He said, I just want you to get ready, and so I'm reminding you. And so even as Paul said, I thought it necessary, this pastor thought it necessary that we would have a day. Think about our stewardship for the Lord, and this is our opportunity to promote to you the potential that we have in this very moment to touch thousands of lives around the world. Then notice thirdly, the promise of giving. The promise of giving. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth, and I pray that every member of this church will do that. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now God says, here's my promise for you. I am going to give you all grace so that as you get involved in serving, as you get involved in helping missions, I'm going to make sure that every other need in your life is cared for. The Bible says it this way, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That promise that every need will be met was given to a missionary supporting church. God said, I'll meet your needs. Look at, it's like this. God says, you take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. One old farmer said it this way. He said, well, God shovels it in, I shovel it out. God shovels it in, I shovel it out. God shovels it in, I shovel it out. And then he said, and God's got a bigger shovel than I do. Learning to trust God in giving, learning that he will provide. He says, I will care for you. And then number 4, the praise of giving. Now, when we give, there is opportunity created to praise the Lord. Notice, if you would, in chapter 9 and verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. I believe that God, as he allows us the privilege of giving, is allowing us an opportunity to see thanks given unto God. I guarantee you that there are people, after they get saved, they say, I can't believe that I believed in many gods or no God or whatever God. And now I understand that there's a Jesus that loved me and he shed his blood for my sin. And you know what they say? Thanks be to God that he's met this need in my life and that Jesus has come into my life. And many thanksgiving are provided because a church gets behind the missionary, supporting the missionary. And I think as our missionaries go to Africa and they find people that are turning to witch doctors and they're turning to all kinds of ridiculous ideas concerning God and no belief in God, and the missionaries tell them there is a God that loves you, He sent His Son for you, suddenly those who have their hearts opened up to the gospel are thanking and praising God. And while we enter into the fellowship through our support, we enter into the rejoicing because of those that are saved. Madagascar and Africa and China, people who've been told for many years there is no God, and someone's coming to them and telling them, oh, there is a God. He loved you so much. He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm telling you, one day in heaven you're going to meet people who say to you and say to me, thank you for giving to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending a missionary to my house so that I could learn about the Lord. You see, the praise of giving takes place because people who are saved are thankful. How many of you this morning are praising God that somebody told you about Jesus Christ? Listen, somebody helped you come to salvation. Now it's your turn. Now it's my turn. Adoniram Judson was a great missionary, an American missionary. He went over to Burma. And as he began preaching the gospel there, God was using him to preach the message of Christ to the Burmese. Things were going well. But suddenly a war came between the British and the Burmese. And because he was of white color and because he spoke English, they thought he was British. They took him on an 8-mile forced march barefooted to prison. They took this Baptist missionary. They put chains around his feet. They hung him upside down for many hours a night until the blood would rush to his head and his upper body. And he was often through the night swarmed by large swarms of mosquitoes who literally bit his face to the place that it was beyond recognition in the morning. The only way Adoniram Judson survived those terrible years in prison was because of a loving wife who would come and minister to him and bring what she could to medicate him. And every day of his life, Adoniram Judson, the great Baptist missionary that he was, prayed, God, when I get out of this prison, and he didn't say, I'm going straight back to America. He said, when I got out of this prison, I want to get with my wife and I want to get the gospel to these people and I want to translate the scripture into their language. And sure enough, several years later, he got out of prison, and just within days of getting out of prison, his wife died of smallpox. He did not let that deter him. He continued with devotion for the Lord. He built a little house. He built a little graveyard. He even dug the area where he would be buried and said to his colleagues, when I die, don't send me back to America. Bury me here on the mission field. For 35 years, he was faithful in Burma. In fact, the truth be told, their dictionary to this day was made available by the Baptist missionary. Truth be told, the very roots of Christianity that were planted by this missionary has sprung forth until thousands of people have been saved. God used him in a wonderful, wonderful way. And this is what Adoniram Judson said just before his death. He said, I do not want to be like a Paul or a mere man. I want to be like Christ. I want to follow him openly, copy his teachings, drink in his spirit, and place my feet in his footprints. Oh, to be more like Christ. Look right here and I'm done. I believe that if all of us would focus on Christ and if all of us were more like Christ, there is no doubt that we would be giving more consistently and generously so that others might hear the Lord Jesus Christ. For the essence of Christ is giving. The essence of God's nature is giving. For God so loved the world that he what? You say, are you telling me that giving is a barometer of my spiritual life? Yes.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329 or go to dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.